The universe is vast, empty. A small blue marble approaches fast as a ball of pure energy is drawn to it, crashing on a sunny day shoreline. Out of the impact, a boy stands. Purple cloud tendrils turn the world to darkness. A lock gives way. As he rises from the crater, clouds part. Across the battlefield, moonlight gathers. A crescent glows brighter as a second figure rises into the light. She appears to pulsate as a rainbow light fills her body and transforms her. A brooch snaps open. Energy ripples outward, lifting dust and sending sparks across the ground. One fights with the power to open worlds. The other draws power from the heavens themselves. Ki meets moonlight. Light meets starlight. This week, the Keyblade Master, Sora, versus the Moon Princess, Sailor Moon. It's time to lock it down and gather your interplanetary guardians, because tonight we learn the key to friendship, magical worlds, and impossible odds is very, very large. Welcome back to another Who Would Win Masters. I am Sam Proof on all of the socials, and in this episode, representing Square Enix, the hero who proves that when life gives you darkness, you make darkness aid. Master of the Keyblade, a low-key awesome dude, and as his mom says, a real keeper, it's Sora. And representing a Toei Animation, the lunar lady who turns sparkles and bubbles into double trouble, the schoolgirl who always moons the monsters, she's totally here for it, it's Sailor Moon. Now, returning to the show this week, friend of the show, nostalgia aficionado from SayWord.co, welcome back, Benny T. Benny, you'll be representing Sora from Kingdom Hearts. Why did you pick this character?
My favorite PS2 game ever. Right. It was super influential for me and just my love for video games. And I think it is such a complex character. And as somebody who's been listening to the show for 6+ years, I think this is a character that brings such a dynamic spectrum of different things that it's just going to make for a really interesting show.
Yeah, and now I hear you have prepared yourself in a magical way. Do you want to share that with the audience?
You know, we got the vintage Kingdom Hearts shirt. We got Sora on the forearm. We got the Keyblade on the collar. So to say I like Kingdom Hearts would be an understatement. We got Tapestry here, Keyblade hanging on the wall.
I think that's commitment. And anyone who votes against you, for shame. And if it's me shame. At the end of this episode, we'll just cut that part out. I think that's good. And we'll get into tonight's tale of the tape, which is brought to you by showers. Did you know that you don't have to walk around all day, every day, smelling worse than medical waste spill? There's other people in the world, and they don't want to hurl every time you walk by. If you find yourself eroding an air of pure, festering dumpster, consider staying inside the house and taking a shower. Showers are quick, healthy, and prevent everyone around you from retching uncontrollably. Try one today, now on sale, 2 for 1. Look at that, that's beautiful. Tonight, we have two of the most cosmically powerful characters in Who Would Win Masters history. On one side, we have Sora. Sora is a plucky, cheerful young guy from Destiny Island who goes on an adventure with Donald Duck and Goofy, as you do, in the Kingdom Hearts video game series. Sora is pure of heart and builds strong connections with others. Wielding the Keyblade, Sora fights the darkness with an unrelenting will that comes from his character. Sora was created by Tetsuya Nomura and first appeared in the video game Kingdom Hearts in 2002. Seems like just yesterday. On the other side, we have Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon, or Yosaji, or Serena, depending on the version, is a Japanese schoolgirl who transforms into a magical guardian of love and justice. Sailor Moon keeps growing her cosmic powers and her hair and defending the Earth from the forces of darkness. Sailor Moon was created by Naoko Takeuchi and first appeared in Sailor Moon Chapter No. 1, Yosagi Sailor Moon, in 1991. Now that the characters are set, let's introduce our own pretty guardian. It's Ray. Ray, what do you make of this bat?
First off, I want to say I'm not impressed by Benny T and his tattoos. In fact, in the last 2 weeks, I got 9 Sailor Moon tattoos. And no, you can't see any of them. You know why I got them, Sam? To prepare me for this battle.
They're just bubbles, right? Just little bubbles.
Okay. We don't talk about them, Sam. I'm just saying
they're there.
I thought
that was Bruno, but okay.
I really enjoy this battle. I just bought the first Kingdom Hearts game for the first time. And I will tell you right now, I used to work at Square Enix way back in the day. Not even that long ago, I guess. Oh, wow. But, you know, almost a decade ago, I was there. And they were working on a game called Kingdom Hearts 3. And they said to me, Ray, do you want to work on Kingdom Hearts 3? And I looked at them square in the eye and I said, no. No, because someday I'll be facing Benny T on the Who Would Win Masters show. And I will be opposing Sora, and I want no sympathy for this charming young man.
Wow. Wow.
Haley Joel Osment could not be reached for comment.
That is dedication. All right. Well, with that gauntlet thrust so thoroughly in the past, I guess it's time for our rules in under 1 minute. But more than that.
Go ahead, Sam. Tell them what they're about to hear.
This is the debut. Dare I say, the unveiling of the most epic rules in under 1 minute you have ever listened your ears to. It is now in song form. All right, that's all I got.
Here's the rules for Who Would Win Masters in under a minute. Rule number one, there will be 3 time rounds of 3 minutes each. Guest debaters will get a 1 minute counterpoint. Rule number two, no prior knowledge of the opponent for either character. No outside interference is allowed. Rule number three, characters must remain in character. Outlier and crossover feats will be given less weight. Whoa. Rule number four, victory can be achieved by death, knockout, battlefield removal.
I love BFR.
Or incapacitation. After the debate, Sam will give his decision, but it will be up to the community to make its voice heard and votes as to who won.
I got goosebumps everywhere right now. How exciting was that?
Chills.
Nice. I don't think I paid attention to any single rule because I was just listening to those drum fills.
That was my exact thought.
I hope no one needs that for legal reasons. Thank you to Rick Allen. I think that's is he the one that came in and did the drums on that? It was like, take that.
I know no drummers. Okay. So I could do no reference games with you, Sam Proof.
Brian Chippendale, fantastic. Put out was it the Lightning Bolt? He was like, hey, Lightning Bolt, which is just one other guy also named Brian. He's like, step aside. I gotta go do these rules.
I think we got Pickles from Metalocalypse. That's the one.
Right, there
I do
you go. That's
somehow.
That's a three. That's all.
Monster from the Muppets.
There's too many now. That's four. Rule of three.
Right. Animal might have gone a little ham on that one. It's true.
Can't stop it.
I knew two drummers, and they were both fictional.
You've lied to us through percussion. All right, let's get into it. Benny, as our guest, you will start us off with 3 minutes on the clock. Starting now.
All right, you guys, round number one. My point is all about Sora, his abilities, and his famous weapon. A few major things to note right off the bat is Sora isn't just a Keyblade wielder. Sora is fundamentally a heart and soul-based fighter. Keep that in mind as both Ray and I talk about Sora and Sailor Moon. Sora is like no character this show has seen. His entire power system revolves around the heart, and he shows time and time again that the strength of his heart allows him to do a massive array of things, like resist and recover from supernatural corruption, exist and act despite losing his physical body. Restore and interact with hearts. Resist attempts to control or manipulate him. Connect with and draw strength from other hearts. Now let's talk about his famous weapon, the Keyblade. There's so many different Keyblades to pick from, but the Keyblade isn't just a sword. It's a multifunctional supernatural weapon. The Keyblade gives Sora access to a spread of powers and abilities. Physical attacks, something that Sailor Moon doesn't do well against. Magic, like fire, blizzard, thunder, wave, gravity, magnet, reflect, stop type effects, and defensive abilities like cure, protect, reflect, barrier abilities, and more. He also has elemental attacks, barriers, healing, mobility, transformation, summoning characters like Simba the Genie, Mushu, Tinkerbell, Wreck-It Ralph. He has various reality and dimensional interaction abilities. Sora doesn't have to fight Sailor Moon on her terms. If she wants a long-range magic attack, Sora can participate. If Sora wants to melee her, he can. If she tries to overwhelm him with a massive attack, Sora has defensive, magic, and evasive abilities to cover that. There are many layers to this character, so I hope everyone is locked in. By Kingdom Hearts 3, By Kingdom Hearts 3, Sora's ability stops looking like controversial and conventional video game protagonist powers and starts becoming metaphysical abilities. Sora uses the power of awakening, which is interacting with hearts and consciousness across space and time. He enters the hearts of others. We are talking crazy levels here, like not just normal magic powers. He can restore people, reconstruct events. All that
30 seconds remaining.
All that being said, keep this in mind. Sora is operating in the same metaphysical arena that Sailor Moon's powers operate in, and can go more than toe-to-toe with her. Sora, time and time again, is fought. It's fight, 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 battle, battle, battle. Sora doesn't have to get to a point to, I hate to say, go there. He is always ready for a fight. When it comes to a random encounter, will Sailor Moon be that intense? Point number one.
All right, Ray. It's time to transform into the moon lady. Is that how that works? Three minutes on the clock for you, starting now.
Well, thank you very much for laying out some Sora-based magic there. I've always heard it said that Kingdom Hearts is a little bit like, what if a D&D campaign had a really terrible DM who let it go off the rails and let people play as Donald Duck or Goofy? Yes, I know that Sora is a Final Fantasy character with some base-level Final Fantasy magical powers, but that's not going to do anything against Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon, let's just talk about the basics for point number one. She has superhuman agility. She can jump to heights we could only dream of. She can survive falling, I assume from space, although I could not find that feat. But she can fly, so it really doesn't matter. She can zip in through the air. She can go up to outer space if she needs to. She doesn't have any problem being in outer space, with her being essentially a cosmic-type being. And so what she likes to do is, you're right, she doesn't like to get into the physical confrontations. She'll throw a kick and a punch here and there where she needs to, but she would rather sit back and then blast somebody if she wants to. Look, one of the big things that she has going for her is durability. I don't think there's anything that Sora can do that would actually put down Sailor Moon for more than 1.5 seconds. She can tank cosmic level blasts that destroy planets. She can take attacks that warp reality around her and then essentially say, stop it, play the old two blue, and then counterspell that right back to where it came from. She has cosmic and aura resistances as well. She's been inside of destructive auras and then pushed them away. Those auras are known for subatomically destroying other characters in her universe, and she can just get in the middle of that and do it. She's fought supreme entities. I won't bother naming them because unless you know Sailor Moon, you know, it won't matter to you, but just understand that she has fought and withstood cosmic level attacks from cosmic level threats. She's also, as I said before, she endured reality warping around her, not just of her, but of the area around her, and been able to shut that crap right down. Also, of shockwaves and other massive attacks. I say it over and over again because it's important to understand the level of attack that she is able to take. The last thing I want to talk about is some of the items. She's got a tiara that she takes off and could throw, the Moon Tiara Boomerang. She's used that to decapitate people and turn them into dust. She's cut people in half like Krillin's Destructo Disc with the tiara she wears on her head. I appreciate you have a keyblade. You have a giant key on your hand you hold like a sword. I'm vivisecting people here. She can also reflect a beam of moon's light with her tiara to blind people and create what's called a moon twilight flash. And then finally, she can destroy intangible objects as well as tangible objects and can create a new tiara out of absolutely nothing. This thing isn't even close.
All right, Benny, you have a 1 minute counterpoint, 60 seconds on the clock, starting now.
All right, first, Sora can also fly, and as somebody who grew up watching and reading Sailor Moon, it is confirmed that Sora is a better flyer and can fight while flying as well. Durability, the examples is iffy because is it her or is it her items that help her? And that goes into the other thing. Watching the show, she typically only has one or two items at a time. She doesn't have the staff and the tiara and the wand. It's usually one or two, never more than that. Also, when describing the feats, Ray hit us with a just believe me, bro, for examples. I'm just putting it out there, guys. I'm just putting it out there. And that's all I need for round one for counterpoints.
Well, I'll happily take the rest of your time.
Okay.
Just believe me, I had a list of three names here, and when I looked at it, Benny T, I go, nobody knows who these people are. It doesn't matter.
I probably have those same three names.
Oh, ye of little faith.
I bet you did.
Yeah, have faith in the fan base, Ray.
Wow, Ray.
We're all Sailor Moon fans.
Yeah, I know where to draw the line of faith with this fan base. Trust me. I've had it crossed too many times.
All right.
Twilight Sparkle would beat Lobo.
Wow. Wow.
I'll put it out there.
Yeah, it's going to be Friendship versus Darkness in both matches. Is that right? No, strong starts on both sides. You know, when you take a bunch of improv classes, they're like, you got three beats, you start out slow, and then by that third beat, you're on the moon. You guys are already on the moon. Where are you going in points two and three? I couldn't even possibly fathom that between all the cosmic stuff and the abilities that are happening and the fire and the magic and the giant keys and the tiaras. I don't see where this is going, but I guess we'll find out after this break. And we're back. Let's jump into our point number two. Benny, you're going to start us off with 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
All right, well, if you were overwhelmed before, buckle up, because I'm talking forms. Sora has a ton of different forms, essentially transforming into a special and specific enhanced version. But his best one is appropriately named Ultimate Form. This form is tied to the Ultima weapon, aka the best Keyblade, and it's essentially Sora's maximum combat form. When transformed, the Keyblade becomes a bright rainbow-colored sword, while Sora summons multiple additional blades that float around him and participate in attacks and defense. Sailor Moon's not the only one with rainbow abilities here, and that means Sora isn't actually fighting Sailor Moon with just one sword. He's essentially fighting with the primary blade and an arsenal of telekinetic-controlled swords. The auxiliary blades are used for offense and defense and act with precision and quickness. Think of Doc Ock and his appendages. The blades allow Sora to attack an opponent simultaneously controlling the battlefield itself. For Sailor Moon specifically, this is important because Sora isn't giving her a typical, you know, I shoot you a beam, I dodge, I run towards you. Not that slow anime battle. He can be attacking from multiple directions while closing the distance. This form also has an insane defensive capability called the Blade Barrier, guarding Sora from attacks coming from all directions and cannot be guard broken under the form's mechanics. Ultimate form gives Sora the ability to teleport, instantly closing the distance between himself and a targeted enemy. That's extremely valuable against Sailor Moon because she wants distance, and Sora can essentially just say no and immediately appear in front of her. This isn't Sora is fast. This is combat teleportation, and the distinction matters. Ultimate form gives Sora Leaf Bracer. This means Sora can complete his recovery magic even when he struck during the casting process. You do not have to kill him. You have to prevent him from recovering as well. I've never seen Sailor Moon be that quick in battle. He is going to simply overwhelm. He is going to bombard and simply overwhelm her. And as I get to my next point, I will list multiple times that Sailor Moon has been overwhelmed in battle. Ultimate form is one of the craziest forms in all of video games.
30 seconds remaining.
It turns Sora into an extremely difficult target to actually hit, all while being bombarded with insane attacks of a variety like Sailor Moon has never seen before. And that is my point number two.
All right, Ray, point number two, 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
You are not actually going to sit here last point and try to tell me that Sora is a better flyer than Sailor Moon. Why does he need a spaceship then to go all the way across the universe? Why does he have jump puzzles in his game if he's such an amazing flyer, Benny? Answer that question if you dare. And also, I think it's absolutely great that he has that little teleportation power. Usually he uses it to dodge. He doesn't have an unlimited range with that teleport, though. If Sailor Moon wants to try to have a long distance away from Sora, he's not just going to be able to jump once, go a great distance and do it. He's limited into how far he can go. And he also has, other power-ups and stuff. What do you call them? Like the gauges, like a stamina gauge or a magical gauge that doesn't just allow him to spam it over and over again. Now, I'm going to talk about some magical cosmic powers. That's where we're going, Samproof. She has infinite energy. Her power scales with her emotions. Think about that. Her power scales with her. She's basically like the Hulk in many ways. As long as she is feeling something, she can keep going. And trust me, if Sora starts doing all the nonsense you're talking about, she's going to be feeling very emotional, and that's going to go very poorly for Sora. She also carries with her a legendary silver crystal. We'll be in and out of that as we go any further. She can take powerful crescent moon and energy beams, using scepters, of course, using her tiara and throwing it. She has very, very powerful earth-breaking type of attacks that she can do from long range. And I think that her best bet in this case is to keep this battle long range and keep Sora away from her and just keep pelting him, keeping him moving, and ultimately break him down. Now, she can use purification. I think Sora's got a version of this too. She can cleanse evil entities, restore any corruption that they have inside of them, and turn monsters back into normal humans. Could she turn Sora into an unpowered character? Quite possibly. She also has a sonic attack of her crying. Yes, she is a schoolgirl at the end of the day. And in her hair, she has this like speaker basically, but it's so much more than that. It amplifies her already very potent screaming to create an ultrasonic wave sonic attack. Go get it. I've mentioned the one already where she blinds people. She could also use what's called the cutie moon rod. I love her. And fire a piercing beam of bright light and energy blast using that as well. So she is going to sit back and she's going to blast, 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 blast. And I don't know that there's a ton that Sora is going to be able to do about that. Not only to mention that she later discovers that she is the reincarnation of the moon princess, Princess Serenity. Who's Sora? I don't know, but I'm going to use the remainder of my time here because that's important. And I'm going to mention that Sora gets his power. He gets his strength from the bonds he makes with others and his friends and everyone that he cares about around him. But there's no outside interference allowed in this battle. His friends aren't there. Without his friends to help guide him and keep up his power, he will be a fraction as powerful as Benny could even imagine.
All right, Benny, 60 seconds on the clock for your counterpoint, starting now.
So right off the rip, you talk about emotion-based attacks, and you are right. She does have emotion-based attacks, but there are no Sailor Scouts to be threatened. There are no kitty cats to be hurt. There's no tuxedo mask. There's not that ramp up. She doesn't have that emotional buildup to break through to summon these deep down powers. You're talking screaming and blinding and cute little things, and I'm talking about blades of fury coming towards you with arrays of moves and abilities she hasn't seen. Teleportation will be more than enough in this arena, because if she goes too far for ranged attack, battlefield removal. He's also a better flying fighter. We know that for sure. We've seen both, you know, Kingdom Hearts and Sailor Moon. Other than that, I don't know if Sailor Moon can win without her Sailor Scouts. Sora wins time and time again by himself. He's done it time and time again. He proves he can win without him. And that's all I got. At the buzzer.
Wow. All right. Yeah, this is amping up real good. To equate Sailor Moon to a Hulk that needs friendship is pretty awesome. I love that from the combination of both sides there. And, you know, I'm learning a lot about Sora. I have very little experience, I have to say, with Kingdom Hearts. And this is so hard already. So really, in your point number threes, painting that very clear path to victory is going to be key and essential. So we'll see what happens when we come back after this break. I think we need a Hulk of Friendship shirt, so we should talk about
it
that.
It seems accurate, right?
Yeah, I think that's about right. The Hulk Scouts. Anyway, let's get into it. This is time for your third and final point. Benny, you'll start us off with 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
All right, I got a lot to say, so buckle up. Sora has combat experience, speed, reactions, versatility, resistance to exotic abilities, and his massive ability sets give him all the perfect tools to beat Sailor Moon. Sora is a crazy experienced fighter, traveling through a massive list of worlds, dimensions, and universes, and has come out on top time and time again. He has fought thousands of regular enemies like Heartless, Nobodies, and Unverse, but listen to this list of other big bads. Jafar, Ursula, Captain Hook, Hades, the god of the underworld, Hercules, Chernabog, Rinsler from Tron, Maleficent, Anson, Xemnas, Sephiroth, Cloud, Cerberus, Lock, Shock, and Barrel. Yes, he will beat up kids. And Anti-Sora, he literally beat himself. That list contains time and space manipulators, reality warping entities, other Keyblade wielders, and enemies capable of destroying worlds. And he beat them all while under pressure. Now, Sailor Moon is very powerful, but she is not a martial artist. Her victories frequently involve awakening a greater power similar to a Super Saiyan. Purifying an enemy or receiving help, none of those apply here when it's a random encounter with no outside help. Sora is so much more accustomed to close quarter combat, reacting to supernatural attacks, exploiting openings, and fighting opponents who massively outscale him. Sailor Moon lacks physical durability, inexperience, and self-doubt will all contribute to her fall in this match. Both draw powers from hope, friendship, and light, making this less about who hits harder and more about how their powers interact. This is how it goes down. The encounter begins without warning. Sailor Moon raises the silver crystal, expecting another monster to fall before her, but that is not what it is. It's Sora instinctively drawing the Keyblade. Neither know what the other is capable of. Sailor Moon strikes first, unleashing a wave of cosmic energy. Sora has seen moves like this before, takes damage but survives, realizes immediately that trading attacks would be a poor choice. Calling upon the ultimate form, the Keyblade erupts with overwhelming gleaming light. His movements become impossible to follow, teleporting through the battlefield, striking from multiple angles, and using the Ultima Keyblade's range of offense and defense to deflect, redirect, and send in shots. She answers with powerful blasts, but Sora refuses to fight her head on. Every exchange, he learns something. Sailor Moon finally unleashes her greatest attack, flooding the battlefield.
30 seconds remaining.
Sora is nearly overwhelmed, but his connection to the power of hearts allows him to endure just long enough for an opening. Rather than overpowering the crystal, he uses the Keyblade to lock on a Sailor Moon herself. In a single burst of Ultima Form style, Sora teleports, passes through her defenses, and lands a decisive blow, disrupting her concentration and causing the crystal's power to collapse and dissipate. Sailor Moon falls exhausted. Sora stands over her, Keyblade lower. The battle is over. In a fight neither expected, Sora wins not because he possesses greater raw power, but because Ultimate Form allows him to survive that initial blow. And that is my final point.
All right. Ray, 3 minutes on the clock for Sailor Moon, starting now.
It's a really interesting story. I guess if Sailor Moon is prone to just standing in one place and letting someone hit her over and over and over again, you got a real winner there with that argument, Benny. But no, not only could Sora evolve his classes, but Sailor Moon has become Super Sailor Moon, Eternal Sailor Moon. Like, she just keeps going up and up and up. I would mention right now, there was an attack called Conceptual and Existence Erasure. That means that not only do you not exist anymore, no one's ever heard of you before. And she was able to regenerate and come back from that, from entering the galaxy cauldron. And she was gone on a conceptual level, right? She was able to defeat that type of attack. She also has a silver crystal inside of her, which, you know, please. She can be used to protect. It can be used to destroy. She could blow up an entire planet that they're standing on if she wanted to. Does Sora breathe in space? I'm honestly not sure. I know he needs a spaceship to travel through the galaxy. Also, it can encase her, the Silver Crystal can, whenever she's about to be dealt a very big attack to protect her with a cosmic level of power. Look, this is a lady in Sailor Moon who revives the dead. She heals people. She's like basically a white mage from Final Fantasy on the most god tier possible. She could purge negative status effects to everyone on an entire planet at the same time. She's remade planets before. She's restored reality before. So if she could do all that, why is a couple of hits with a giant key going to actually stop her? I don't see it. But let's talk about Lambda Power. She rebirthed the entire universe. It's described as, I have, quote unquote, the power to lose everything and save everything at the same time. She was able to bring back all her friends, which, yes, she does, much like Sora, she does rely on her friends. But unlike Sora, when all her friends go away, she kind of doubles down and then raises her level up one. Whenever Sora is away from his friends for any period of time, because these bonds that he relies on for his power are so strong, when his friends are not around, he tends to be irrational. He tends to not make good decisions. He tends to dive into a battle head first without really thinking about what's going on because he needs his homies to keep him in check. Not only that, without his friends around, those bonds, as you were talking about, even in your point number three, those are weaker. And he also gets filled with self-doubt. He doesn't think that he is good enough in those circumstances. Like, well, my friends aren't here. How could I be good enough? Well, Sailor Moon also works in empathetic magic and causes people's emotions around her to become bigger. So if Sora is starting to be filled with self-doubt because it's a one-on-one encounter, Sailor Moon can absolutely double, triple, quadruple the feelings that he has, and his weaknesses get so much worse. He makes a mistake. He gets himself bamboozled, cut in half, battlefield removed, whatever the heck she needs to do in order to win this day.
All right, Benny, you have 60 seconds on the clock for your third and final counterpoint, starting now.
All right. Well, you talk about how she can level up, but will she? Again, she is emotion driven. To level up, she needs that. Also, she has a history of being overwhelmed. If there's going to be a character, it's going to overwhelm her. It's going to be somebody like Sora. Also, Sora has a feature called Second Chance, so there is no one-hit KOs. She needs that buildup. I don't know if he gives her that time. You listed a bunch of big feats, but nothing about one-on-one fights. She saved a world. She rebuilt the world. How does that beat Sora? Also, the bonds for Sora extend beyond worlds and universes. The Sora you're referencing is Kingdom Hearts 1, not the current Kingdom Hearts 3 ultimate form we're talking about. And I just didn't hear how Sora gets beat. I just heard a whole lot of really cool magic stuff and universe stuff, but no big knockouts for Sora. So we'll see what Sam says.
Strong words. All right. As always, Ray has not had counterpoints throughout the show, but he does get a final thought. So, Ray, whenever you're ready.
You did. I just gave you a whole bunch of points and ways that she could defeat him. Essentially, he needs to be broken down and isolated. You need to do to him what the Detroit Pistons did to Michael Jordan back in the late 80s on their run to back-to-back NBA championships. You isolate the strong player, you make them feel worthless and abandoned, and you beat the living crap out of them. That's how you defeat that kind of a star player. Now look, Sora, one thing that Benny's kind of dragging a little bit is the inner darkness that Sora actually does carry with him. Sailor Moon does not have that darkness inside her, okay? Sora has the darkness inside of him. That's where, what is it, the rage form comes out? That's where the anti-form comes out. Tell me that rings a bell, Benny T. Because if he starts feeling these emotions that she, and he absolutely will, he's going to basically not be as good with the Keyblade. He's going to lose his crap, basically. And he's going to become almost a feral version of Sora that would be much easier to put down. Because once she purges the corruption inside of him, once anti-form takes over, because she's bombarded him with empathy and these emotional stakes that he's obviously feeling, he's going to be knocked unconscious for a certain period of time. And that is enough to declare a who would win style victory in this particular case. I listened to the song. I know all the lyrics to that song. So I know exactly how to win one of these fights, Benny T. So at the end of the day, I would argue that, you know, while I think that in physical hand-to-hand combat, Sora is a better fighter than Sailor Moon. I would give that up. Long range, I think Sailor Moon has got him dead to rights. And as far as flying and fast flying, it's tough to tell because we've seen Sailor Moon go zip through galaxies in a matter of seconds, but we've seen Sora move very fast in shorter combat zones and areas. So I don't exactly think that he can keep up with her or teleport enough to do it, but none of that matters because my 2 minutes is over.
All right. Well, I'm going to need a little more than 2 minutes to figure out what I think about all of this. So I will be right back with my decision. Maybe.
Two figures met in collision. Now let's find out who would win. It's time to hear Sam's decision.
All right, step right up, folks, and welcome to Sam Proof's Barbershop and Locksmithery for haircuts and keyed-in decisions. This battle was utterly locked with an intense volume of key points and feats, but did it end in tangles? Starting off, let's trim the facts, because this is not a D&D campaign that has gone off the rails, but a battle between two amazingly powered beings that both love friendship, rainbows, and shiny things. From Keyblades and Boomerang Moon Tiaras, there's a lot of flash and feats here. Benny listed a Disney encyclopedia worth of villains, now available on Amazon for $15.99, versus Ray's list of Just Trust Me, Bro. What a tease. But for future reference, just, Ray, just say the word queen and then just make up any other word, and it's probably a Sailor Moon villain. I think that's accurate.
That is legitimate.
Yeah, that's pretty at least 50%. The point that Sailor Moon needs her friends, the Sailor Scouts, making her the Hulk of Friendship, shirts now available on Amazon for $15.99, is the real calamity here. Rey fought back with "I'm rubber and you're glue," Moon Mirror, that shines the same light on Sora and his bond with his friendship, his friends. Benny says newer Sora's bonds to his friends transcend space and distance, and I'm totally here for it. I would say the main attraction here is reality warping and the undoing of spatial temporal distortions via the Silver Crystal and Lambda power. It is sheer perfection. So hide your wives, hide your princesses, because in the end, at least for me, this is a complete lockout. Rey said she can use empathic magic to undermine and belittle Sora to essentially quadruple his self-doubt. I never really thought of her as a gaslighter, but if the tiara fits, I'm going to be warping reality here and giving this to Rey and Sailor Moon. And well, after all of that, I'm a bit key put. So it's going to be up to you to voice your opinions and make some key memories by voting on the Patreon. You can unlock the official poll with your free or paid memberships to patreon.com/whowouldwinmasters. I had other puns I was going to say and other points I was going to make, but Rey was yelling at me to get this done. So that's all I have to say. Benny, this was so insanely close. These are such amazingly overpowered characters that it is so, so hard to really say this is the one thing that makes this happen. But yeah, her ability to rewrite things, which is almost instantaneously, did seem to put this over the edge. How are you feeling right now?
You know, I'm not super surprised. I know when people talk big, flashy things, it can distract. But when people are voting, I want people to remember what the rules are. And the battle I laid out versus the feats Rey had, and does that actually translate to a battle win? I think with all the buzz of the new Kingdom Hearts announcements, I think we might have a really big turnout on this poll. And I hope to really excited to see what people say. And I'm going to do my best to be here for the wrap up so I can see. Now, if Kingdom Hearts, you know, and Sora loses, you may never hear from me ever again. But I have faith. There will be no heartless. Everyone's going to trust in friendship and hearts and love, and they're going to turn out, and Sora will get the win in the end. I won last time. I'm trying to keep a streak.
Right. So the question to the audience is, does Benny T's bonds transcend space and distance to you, the viewing audience?
That's Rey, the real question.
Rey, any thoughts?
The three characters that I didn't bother mentioning are named Sailor Galaxia, Nahelania, and Sailor Chaos. Does that mean anything to you people at home?
Forgot? You mean Metellia.
Yeah, okay, that's Queen Metellia, what I had in mind, you know, for sure.
And Rupus.
All right, fine. Look, she's fought a lot of very tough characters. I was only talking about, like, the ones that, like, hit her the hardest in my own personal ranking system. But all of the, look, five characters just got named, and I guarantee that unless you're a huge Sailor Moon head, you knew who none of those characters were, maybe half of one at the best. I know how to fill these arguments. To accuse me of using a just trust me, bro, is enraging. I am so upset right now that Benny started it and Sam finished it, and I could not be more furious at both of you. People at home, I think that Benny brought it with Sora today. I will say that straight to his face. I won't look at him, but I'll say it straight to his face when he's turned the other direction, because I feel like he did a fantastic job with Sora in this. Sora is an impeccably dominant character. That's why we had to come out with Sailor Moon. This isn't officially a Showdown September matchup, but maybe it is. Let's just call this a Showdown September matchup, because this is a somewhat spoken of matchup in the world of video games and anime. And the people at home, you can finally determine for yourself. Go to patreon.com/whowouldwinmasters. I want to hear comments for this one. If one of you in the comments says, trust me, bro, I will flip a table on you. Let me say that right now.
More than one person needs to say it, so we're safe.
Which means I'm going to be reading it about 19 bleeping times come the wrap-up. Thanks, everyone.
great. Benny, do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Totally. You can find me at sayword.co on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, whatnot. We go live every single Sunday from 1 to 3. Check us out in store. We're located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's Sayword, S-A-Y-W-E-R-D. And that's it. Thank you again for having me back. And I hope to be back again soon. I hope everyone enjoyed. This was phenomenal.
Definitely. Of course. Any last words, Ray?
Wait, who changed my name? Put that back right now. How dare you?
For the audio audience, it just says, trust me, bro.
What is happening right now?
It is an audio platform, first and foremost, Ray.
I don't know. Do we have a producer?
You save your visual gags for Carrot Top. Anyway, is that it? All right, great.
I want nothing to do with either of you anymore.
Okay. We'll be back with the wrap-up show, breaking down your votes, pulling your comments from the Discord and other socials, and see who's riding with Team Sam. I think that's a thing the kids are saying these days. Keep the fight going, and make sure to join us over on Discord and as well as on Patreon, patreon.com/whowouldwinmasters, where you can find the official poll and so many other things like the movie night we just had. You have access to things like that, the wrap-up, behind-the-scenes, live tapings, and it's all for free, free or paid. You decide your level of commitment. And if you think you've got what it takes to step into the challenger's chair, record a one-minute video demo of yourself, send it to whowouldwinmasters@gmail.com, and we might see you sitting across from Trust Me Bro in a future episode. For Who Would Win Masters, this is Sam Proof. I'll see you in the arena.